At this time, Lenin was in exile, of course, in Switzerland. In fact, in January 1917, he gave a speech to the Swiss Young Socialists, probably the same number as were in this room. And he gave the perspectives of how things were going to change, although he said, well, possibly not in my lifetime. You know, your generation is going to do it, and I'm unlikely to see the revolution. And within a month, the revolution broke out in Russia in February 1917. On International Women's Day, led by women workers, were fighting for bread, and strike spread. And throughout the whole of the capital and throughout the other parts of Russia, a revolutionary movement began to take place to challenge Tsarism. And they created, in this instance, again, Soviets, these workers' councils who were being thrown up in the factories as a means of struggle, like a strike committee, if you like. If you're going to organise something, you use a committee to organise it. And this was exactly what they were. Soviets who were being created. And the parties that were put into power in the first instance. I can't go through the whole of the history of the Russian Revolution. You have to be very telescoped. But power was in the hands of the working class, really. They had the power, but they just didn't know what to do with it. And as Lenin said, well, they handed it over to their representatives. At this time, a party called the Social Revolutionaries, which was mainly based on the peasantry, which were the descendants of the other group that we heard about earlier, of the Narodniks, the people's will. They developed into the Social Revolutionaries and based themselves on the peasantry at that time. And the Mensheviks, actually. The Mensheviks had more intellectuals in their ranks, had more publicly known figures in their ranks as opposed to the Bolsheviks. And they were the ones that got elected to the Soviets. And they formed the leadership and the majority in these workers' committees. The Bolsheviks were there, but a minority at that particular time. In fact, the Bolsheviks only had 8,000 members in February 1917, which was very, very small, 8,000 members. Within the space of 9 months, they had grown to 240,000 and came to power. And even at that time, Lenin was a bit bemused and made a joke, you know, good God, you know, 9 months ago we were in exile, and now we're actually, you know, we're forming a government in Russia. How things change. What a big dialectical change that was to take place. And that was on the basis of events. It was events, events, and more events, which shook up society, shook up the working class, and put also pressure on the leaders of the movement. Were they going to deliver? And throughout 1917, in these revolutionary conditions, there were a lot of promises made, but there were very little in the way of actually introducing those promises. Whereas the Bolsheviks had a policy. Well, first of all, I can't go into too much detail. Lenin came back, the Bolshevik leaders came back from exile. Lenin's position now was, whereas before, the perspective was a capitalist revolution led by whoever you like, it was going to be a bourgeois revolution. Now he had changed these ideas completely and come over to a position that had originally been outlined by Leon Trotsky in a theory called the permanent revolution, which said basically that the bourgeois revolution can only be led by the working class with the support of the peasants. But once the workers come to power, they're not going to just make a capitalism and make it good for the capitalists. They can actually carry out measures in the interest of the working class. In other words, they should move towards socialist construction. Trotsky was the only person at that time to raise this idea that a working class could come to power in a backward country and actually move towards socialism, never been heard of before. Lenin didn't agree with that idea until 1917, when the revolution itself, brought clearly onto the agenda what the situation was and how it could be resolved. And Lenin came back and had a bit of an argument, to say the least, inside the Bolshevik Party, to rearm and redirect the party to take power, to lead the working class in a socialist revolution and come to power. And using the slogans, all power to the Soviets, it should be a workers' dictatorship, if you like, the dictatorship of the proletariat, if you like, expression of Marx, would be the dictatorship, if you like, or the coming to power of these Soviets. The workers would elect their delegates. The delegates should form the government in the country. The workers should organise a workers' state, and capitalism should be eliminated. And he came forward, and the Bolsheviks agitated on these three points of all power to the Soviets, bread, land, and peace. And the bread, land, and peace could not be granted by this new, the provisional government, which was supported by the Mensheviks and the social revolutionaries. And this situation lasted, well, they tried to suppress the Bolsheviks. In July 1917, the socialist government, so-called, tried to suppress the Bolsheviks because he was gaining in popularity. And in August 1917, there was a threat of a military dictatorship in Russia, led by General Kornilov, who started the march on Petersburg with an army. And it was the Bolsheviks who rallied the troops, rallied the workers, to fraternize with the troops and win them over. And by the time Kornilov got to Petrograd, he had no army left. The whole thing had collapsed. And after that experience, the Bolsheviks had their authority just grew and grew. And more support came their way. And the Soviets in Petrograd and in Moscow, the main cities, now had a majority of Bolshevik delegates. They formed a majority in these Soviets. And Lenin argued under those conditions, for God's sake, let's use this time. We've won the working class in these in the cities. They can lead the peasantry to come to power. And if the idea of power was posed at that particular time, and again, to telescope things in October, which is the old calendar, on the 25th of October, under the direction of the Bolshevik Party, through the Soviets, they took power. They arrested the government, old government leaders and officials. They had a congress on the 25th of the Soviets and declared that the Soviets have taken power. We are now organizing a new government. That the old capitalists have been swept out, and we have to take a number of decrees, laws that we want to introduce. And in this mass meeting that took place, they introduced a number of decrees on the war. We appeal for peace. We believe we want a just peace. And we offer the belligerent powers discussions and negotiations to stop this war. No annexations, no seizing of different lands, no profiteering, an end to the war. That was a bombshell. Land to the peasants. We now say land is nationalised and the land will be given to the peasants to organise with. And as far as bread is concerned, the factories will be run under the control of the workers themselves. Workers' control of the order of the day and state control of the bank, so on and so forth. And a government was formed, which in actual fact was not a Bolshevik government. Within a few weeks, a coalition government was organised of the Bolsheviks and the left social revolutionaries. The Social Revolutionary Party had split, and a big section of them came over to support the Bolsheviks. And they organised a government, and the balance in the government was 11-7. 11 for the Bolsheviks, 7 for the left social revolutionaries. And they began to organise a workers' state. The capitalists were sidelined, although they still owned the economy. That state power was now in the hands of the working class, now in the hands of the elected representatives of the working class, and also the peasantry were supporting this. After all, they were given the land, and they were given incentives to support the revolution. So everything was being set up there. There's just one little caveat I want to put in. That is, Lenin never ever believed that this revolution could establish socialism in one country. In fact, the whole perspective that Lenin had was the Bolsheviks would come to power and would begin a world revolution. Because, after all, Russia was so backward. You know, semi-feudal relations existing. Marx had explained that socialism would be built upon the best and most developed capitalism we could have. Why? Because you have the material basis for the development of society, the material basis for elimination of classes, and so on and so forth. But what Lenin explained was that capitalism had broken at its weakest link. If you think of capitalism as a big chain, that Russia was the weak link in the chain, and that's why it broke there. Not because it was the most advanced. On the contrary, if you look at Marx's writings, Marx believed the revolution would begin, first of all, in France, followed by Britain, followed by Germany, would be the main capital, and that would be it. Once those three countries had gone socialist, the world was socialist, because everything was so powerful in those countries. But it never happened that way. It happened in old, backward, semi-feudal Russia, with a working class out of 150 million people, the majority were peasants. There were only 10 million workers, and out of that, only 3 million were industrial workers. So it's a very slender force you based yourself on. So they had to have a correct policy to win over the best, the most oppressed sections of the peasantry, and hold on for the world revolution. That's what it was all about. In fact, in 1919, they set up the Third International, the Third Communist International. And communist parties were now being established in different countries. Big communist parties in France, in Italy, in Germany, in Czechoslovakia, even in Sweden, I think. Was it the Swedish Labour Party? Oh, no, it was the Norwegian. The Norwegian Labour Party actually came over and wanted to affiliate to the Third International. And then they talked about working class power, the dictators of the proletariat, world revolution, socialism in our hands. This was the programme of this new international body that was established in Moscow. And the reason for that is that was the lifeline for the Russian Revolution. Because in the words of Lenin, the revolution will not survive if it's left in the confines of Russia. It just will not survive. We'll be crushed. We base ourselves on the world working class. And he did. He's even said, if the German working class would come to power, we would relinquish. If it was necessary, we would give up the Russian Revolution. Why? Because Germany was so powerful. That would guarantee the world revolution. Russia wasn't, although it was 10 days it shook the world, wasn't it, in the words of John Reed. It was 10 days. It transformed the entire world situation. Put socialism on the cards. Put socialism, not in the textbooks, not in Capital, Volume 1, 2 and 3, very good as those books are, but it made it a reality. In other words, from talking and theory, it became a reality. And that was the great, that's what, if you like, the contribution of Lenin as a revolutionary down to his fingertip. They wanted power, not like the pussyfooting reformist leaders in Britain and France and all the others who talked the good talk on May Day. So they'd be up there, you know, socialism, yeah, and did bugger all about it. Because they were linked into the capitalist system, if the truth is to be told. It was the Bolshevik Party, which had no truck with compromise in that way, who were going to go all the way to revolution, not only in Russia, but world revolution. Because that's what it was all about that time. Other decrees that were established, by the way, worth noting, freedom for the nationalities, all the oppressed nations were given the freedom. If you want to break away, you should do so. No problem. There would be no force to keep you in. Election of all officials, the right of recall, equality of men and women, the divorce. At that time, there'd be no the church and education would be separated. The state and church would be separated. If you want to get divorced, you can get divorced. If you want to get married, you can get married. No problems. And equality of the sexes. Those who are illegitimate but the same rights as those were born within wedlock. In other words, it was a very progressive, revolutionary intention to this revolution, which inspired millions, not only in Russia, but internationally. Everybody was amazed at the blackness and darkness of the World War and the 10 million people who perished in the First World War. This became an enormous attraction for all those looking for a way out. And that's how it began. But the problem was, the capitalists weren't going to let this situation rest. They wanted to defeat it. They didn't want this to go on. How could they allow the Russian Revolution to survive? Because it would give example to all the working classes throughout the world. Their task was to destroy the revolution. And therefore, within the space of a few months, 21 foreign armies had invaded Russia on 14 different fronts. A civil war was declared by the Whites, as opposed to the Reds, the Whites, the counter-revolution, In the south, all those who supported Kornilov and so on, the dictator, they started to organise counter-revolution in all the parts of Russia, backed by the imperialists, backed by Britain, France, America, Germany. They all wanted their slice to smash the revolution because they didn't want it to survive in any shape or form. So what are the Bolsheviks going to do under these circumstances? There are a lot of internal problems. They'd gone through the experience of the World War, the breakup of industry, there was poverty, there was squalor, and so on and so forth. But now they had to organise to defend themselves, because they were going to be crushed if they didn't do it. A matter of survival, if you like. And that's what was all on the card at this point. And that's why you get the drivel of this individual, what's his name, I cited earlier on, these historians. How terrible these people were, and all how bad these people were. They did this, that, and the other. It was the imperialists who came in and began the fact. If you want to know the facts, the revolution in Petrograd was extremely peaceful. Do you know how many people died? Five people in this insurrection, this bloody insurrection as always is painted. Five people died. More people died in the filming of the October Revolution by Eisenstein in 1927 than did in the actual events. It was when they filmed the October Revolution, filming it, they all got their guns out and they started shooting them. Yeah, I think more people were killed in the filming. That shows the instance. In Moscow, more people died because they prevaricated a bit more. But there was nothing compared to what the imperialists wanted to do. They wanted to drown the whole thing in blood. And that's why they sent in this entire force. I won't be long dealing with this issue. But what I'm getting at is that it was going to be peace. If the Bolsheviks had their way, it would be entirely peaceful. Just leave us alone. No, they couldn't leave them alone. They had to bring them down. They had to destroy them. As Lenin explained, it was a measure of self-defense. The terror was forced on us by the terror of the Entente, the terror of mighty world imperialism, which has been throttling the workers and peasants and is condemning them to death by starvation because they are fighting for their country's freedom. And of course, assassinations were carried out just after the revolution in the space of 6 or 9 months. Assassination of various ambassadors, assassination to provoke war and difficulties, assassination of, even Lenin. In August 1918, Lenin was assassinated. Well, he didn't die from his wounds, although later on they contributed to his death. And there was no alternative but to fight to preserve the revolution. There was a regiments were in Russia. They turned on the revolution. In other words, they were backs against the wall. And there was a blockade. You know, they talked about the blockade of Cuba. There was a complete blockade of Russia. I do have the figures here somewhere along the line. Yeah, imports. In 1913, imports, let's give you a round figure. 1,000 puds. Whatever a pud is, I think it's 28 pounds in a pud. I don't know. Anyway, 1,000, right? That's the indices. In 1920, that is 2 years really after the revolution, it went from 1,000 down to 5.6. Right, that gives the indicator of the collapse of imports into the country. It was a blockade. Exports, 1,500 in 1915 of this pods, right, 1,500. In 1920, 0.7, less than one. From 1,500 down to less than one. Now, there's complete utter collapse. Strangled the revolution by all means. What happened then? Obviously, this led to tremendous starvation, hunger, squalor, you name it, in order to try and destroy the revolution. The Civil War. What happened in the Civil War? They had to obviously protect the revolution. A Red Army was created by Trotsky. By 1920, it had gone to 5 million. Many of the workers were dedicated. The Bolsheviks went to the front line. They were the ones who perished the first. And they said, the Bolsheviks are ruthless. Yes, I would say yes, the Bolsheviks were ruthless. The working class was ruthless to try and defend itself, for Christ's sake. In any war or civil war situation, you can't just sit back and wait for the inevitable. You fight. Why? Because the white armies, talk about the atrocities that they had conducted on their own on that basis. If they were not of rape, of pillage, of cut, of slicing open the stomachs of pregnant women, this was all in order to terrify the population. This was the sort of And therefore the Bolsheviks and the state had to organise, yes, a ferocious struggle against these people. Because otherwise all would have been hung. All would have been, and the revolution would have been destroyed. And the only reason why Lenin organised this was to defend the revolution for the world revolution. To hold on, he didn't think it was going to last. He said, we are a besieged fortress. They had to go to the peasantry and take the grain off the peasants to feed the people in the towns who were starving in order to feed the soldiers who were trying to fight the revolution or trying to preserve the revolution. These are the conditions, which I can't again go into very much detail, which faced Lenin and the Bolshevik Party at that time. The number of workers in 1920, well, at first point, in Petrograd. Petrograd was the main city, and it had, I'll give you the population actually, the population of Petrograd was 2.5 million in 1917. By 1920 it fell to half a million people. 2 million had gone back to the countryside looking for food, scavenging, because they were starving. You had cannibalism reported in Russia in 1920. That's the state of play. Like a horrific situation. And that's why we talk, it wasn't building socialism, it was just holding on with everything you could, waiting for the revolutions in Germany, waiting for the revolutions in Britain, waiting for the revolutions in France, because they were the only saviours for the revolution in Russia. And all it was holding on like grim death. And there was no privileges, there's no way Lenin, the Bolsheviks, there's no privileges at all. And they managed to survive because the workers in other countries, including Britain, stopped the war, the Civil War. In 1920s, there was a ship not so far from here, the Jolly George, which was munitions, arms, so on, to fight Russia. And the workers and dockers in London stopped it, just like in South Africa, and shipping arms to Zimbabwe. They stopped it, and they had to give up. And they threatened a general strike, even the Labour Party. And the TC threatened a general strike in Britain in 1920 unless British troops were withdrawn from Russia and leave the revolution alone. That's the kind of situation that we're in. The only problem being that this monstrous situation that existed, this terrible, that they were just holding on like grim death, waiting for this international revolution they put everything into. You had the growth of bureaucracy, bureaucratism in Russia. They knew it was a curse. Even you could scratch the old state apparatus, the old bureaucrats would be there. And you had the beginnings of a bureaucratic degeneration of the revolution, which took place under Stalin and Stalinism, which is obviously a topic for another discussion, or not tonight's discussion. But all I'd just like to quote by ending, Rosa Luxemburg, who said, "Whatever a party could offer of courage, revolutionary far-sightedness and consistency, In an historic hour, Lenin, Trotsky and the other comrades have given in good measure. All the revolutionary honour and capacity which Western social democracy lacked were represented by the Bolsheviks. The October uprising was not only the actual salvation of the Russian Revolution, it was also the salvation of the honour of international socialism." I'll leave it there.